Now this morning, just, you know, so apt that we actually did a baby dedication, and as I was just thinking beforehand about what is actually happening here this morning, you know, this is a display of the love between a husband and a wife, but also the love of parents for this little one. And I mean, you guys can probably testify that, you know, it's fine to be pregnant and stuff, but man, when you meet that little one for the first time, I mean, most dads go mushy, which dads are normally up to that point not. And especially if it's a girl, nah, Cheslin, I mean, like a mushy now, no. But there's this love factor, this power or that, you know, of that which God has done, this beauty of this love between a husband and a wife. And as we were praying, I was just thinking of even in Scripture how God uses these analogies many times to speak to us. How, you know, He loves His church like a husband loves his bride. An expectation and wanting to see these amazing things that are going to happen. So I just want to dive into a portion of Scripture. So, you know, in our walk with Christ, so I'm going to take a bit of a route to get there this morning before we get to the Scripture. My sermon title, Enter and Occupy. But obstacles are not uncommon in our pursuit of the promises of God. Have you noticed that? You know, who of you have prophetic words, dreams, visions that God has given you? Who of you have seen it fulfilled? Who of you are saying, Lord, how long will it still take to get there? You know, how many of you feel like, oh man, these promises are delaying and there's this obstacle and that's obstacle. And it seems like, so obstacles on the way to getting to the promises of the God is not uncommon. And in Scripture, we see it so many times where different people in the Bible have these promises of God, and then you expect them to just kind of walk into it. And then we read about this journey. You know, and obviously, Israel is probably one of the biggest ones where God says, listen, I'll take you to the promised land. And they go, yay! And God delivers them, and their first obstacle that they get to is the sea, and everybody's going, so no, what no? You know, Moses, what's up with this? How are we crossing the sea? And I think for me, one of the things, you know, in pursuing the promises of God and getting to that which God has promised us, yes, there are many obstacles that fill our ways, but there's many times great miracles that God does to get us there. And, you know, the evidence that that He is at work in our lives. And we see how when the people of God in Scripture try and do things their own way, that they fail. If you read in the Old Testament, there's so many times that we see God instructing them and then the people of God deciding to do their own thing, only to return with lives lost and, you know, coming running away from what they were trying to do. And in Deuteronomy 5, if you read Deuteronomy, this is not on the slides, but if you go read Deuteronomy 5, Deuteronomy 5, God actually just speaks again the Ten Commandments to His people in how they should walk. He instructs them again. It's like He's reminding them of the things that they need to do, that they need to walk in diligently to receive this promise. And they obviously needing to get to this promised land, and God is saying, listen, there's a way to do this, and I want you to walk in it. So in Deuteronomy 6, verse 1, it starts and it reads like this. These are all the laws that the Lord your God commanded me to teach you. Obey them in the land that you are about to enter and occupy. So they're receiving this word, this reminder from God on that which they need to hold to before they enter and occupy this land. They are about to step into it, and God is planning for them to inhabit this promise. And for each one of us sitting here, God's heart is for us to inhabit the places and the promises that He has spoken to us. But you see, there's one thing, we cannot do it our way, I guess. We kind of have to listen to Him and to hear His voice. Do you want to enter the promises that God has for you? Do you want to see it? Do you want to step into it? Now, there's a difference, actually a huge difference, between just entering. For the Israelites to enter the promised land, they could have entered, but there needs to be that occupy as well. And there's a huge difference between the two, between just entering and occupying as well. And so many of us sometimes just enter the promise of God. We do not occupy the land. You see, when if you think of it, when they crossed the Orange River, just checking if you read your Bible. Okay, when they crossed the Jordan, the first thing they encountered was Jericho, this obstacle, this opposition. And they could have gone, at least we're in the land, guys. Yeah, we made it. We can walk around the city, you know, take a short left and go and you know, put up our pondokis or whatever, our tent somewhere and stay. We've entered the promised land. Yeah, we made it. They could have done that. But the first thing they encountered was this obstacle, and they had to occupy the land. The incredible thing, if you and I were there in that day, we probably would have walked across and seen the great walls and go, oh, shucks, I must have heard wrong. Nah? Wait, can I just check my notes quickly? Lord, what did you say? I read nothing about some big city with a whole bunch of guys in there that's you know, want to kill us. And it's mocking us and doing all sorts of funky stuff there from the top of the wall. You know, where was that in your instruction to the promise, Lord? What is happening here? And what we read in Scripture is that the people in the city, the fear of the people of God was so upon them that they could not do anything. Yeah, they were groot back, you know, shouting there from the walls, but they were fearful about the people of God. And here's the thing, when we have obstacles to the promise, so many times, you know, it's a groot hoo-ha, but the enemy is actually scared of the fact that God is leading you into the promise He has for you. Now, in order for us to occupy the land, and listen, for some of us, maybe even this year looks ahead and we've got these promises and now we see obstacles or challenges in getting actually to where God has, the things that God has for us. But here's the thing, for us to get into the fullness of that blessing and that promise, we do not need to just only enter, but we need to occupy. And to occupy, we have to do a few things. They had to definitely drive out the current inhabitants. They had to take the city, not just that city, but many other cities. They had to destroy the inhabitants of the land. They had to take them out by the instruction of God to inherit and step into and occupy this promise that God has for them. They had to conquer strongholds. They had to break down these things. Even the idolatry and stuff that were in the land, they had to deal with those things in order to occupy the land. And then they had to build homes. You see, because there's no point in stepping into that promise and not setting up house, not inhabiting it, not staying there, not prospering and experiencing the fullness of what God has in store for you and for me and for them. You see, if I just simply enter into the promised land, if I simply enter into the promises God has for me, but I do not occupy, if I enter, there's another ruler there with different rules. And if I just enter, I become subject to those rules. But when I occupy, the Lord gives me the rule in that land. So, how do we not only enter the land, but how do we actually occupy it? And the truth is, in Deuteronomy, there's a few clues. So I want to read further from verse 2. He says, As long as you live. This is the start of sentence. As long as you live. You and your descendants are to honor the Lord your God and obey all his laws that I'm giving you so that you may live in that land as long a long time. Listen to them. People of Israel, obey them. You can, yeah, he has got some assertive tone here. He's saying, guys, I need you to hear me today. Don't just hear me, hear me. You know, when you speak to your child, we've done it so many times, and you talk to my sons, and they're like, and you go, where am I? Then suddenly, they hear you. And if you go, what did I just say? And then if you repeat yourself and you've got the cheeks in the hand, suddenly they hear you. Okay, it's almost that kind of sense that I'm growing here, that Moses is saying, I need you to listen to me now. Okay? Listen to them, people of Israel, and obey them. Then all will go well with you, and you will become a mighty nation and live in that rich and fertile land, just as the Lord, the God of our ancestors, has promised. So he starts off this thing and he says, as long as you live, because I don't know if you've noticed, you can only impact things in this world as long as you live. Okay? When you die, it's done. You cannot bring further change in this world, in your children's life or anything at that moment. So you have got as long as you live to obey the instructions of God. So here's the thing. Sometimes we sit with promises, but we actually fail to enter them. You know, we see the Jordan, we see all the obstacles, we see all the issues, and we just go simply, but this is not possible. And God is saying, I need you to step into these things. And I'll go before you. I'll lead you. I'll show you. I'll part the waters. I'll take down the city. I'm a God of miracles. I can do anything. Just trust me and walk with me. You see, at this time, as long as we live, we cannot just exist. Some people in this world are just existing and not living. We can exist, we can go through the motions, we can go to, you know, stand up, get up in the morning, go to work, come back from work, you know, sort of eat, sleep, get up. I think after COVID, it's what most people are doing is eat, sleep, work, eat, sleep, work, eat, sleep, work. But we need to live in the fullness of what God has for us. You know, in the sermons that's before this one, God has these rich, amazing plans and promises and thoughts to each one of us. He looks at this year probably way differently than what we look at it. He looks at your life right now and is going, man, I've got some awesome things in store for you, some promises I need you to walk in. Just trust me. I need you to enter them. I need you to occupy some land. That is why God says to Joshua, man, every place that your foot shall tread, I'll give it to you. What a promise. We've got the Spirit of God dwelling us, the Son of God that is leading us, and we can take it. We can do anything because the Spirit of God is dwelling in us. Now he's saying to them, listen, these laws that I'm, these instructions that I'm giving you, the Ten Commandments and all the other stuff, you know, it's there. I want your heart, but I need you to teach this to your children so that they can understand who I am and walk in it. You see, because we cannot walk and pursue the promises of God apart from his way of doing things. You know, I don't know if you have ever had a promise of God. You know, someone prophesies over you and you get that prophetic word and they say, you know, you will do X, Y, and Z and all you hear in your head is and you jump, Poppy, and now you're on the move, you're doing stuff. When God said to me, you will be in full-time ministry, I immediately started looking around. Where must I go to Bible school? What am I doing? And I started engaging different streams and ways and stuff. And I tried to study to become a pastor, and the doors just went for 20 years of my life. It just closed. I could not make it happen. But in that 20 years, God took me on a different training session. His way of doing things. His way of leading me into the fullness of what He wants to do. And I didn't understand it. I was frustrated. I'm going, Lord, what is wrong? Why am I not getting there? It only took Him 20 years to prepare me. So He knows how to do it. And I had to have the patience to step into it. So He's saying, teach your descendants, teach your children My way so that they will know Me, that they will know how to follow Me, so that they can step into the promises that God has for them. Do not neglect that. Teach the promises and the instructions of God. And He says to them, listen, I need you to listen today. So almost like God wants to say to us this morning, my sons and my daughters, I need you to listen to Me. There's a way of doing to get to where we're going. And I need you to focus. Grabbing us by the cheeks and saying, know My word, know My instructions, know the way that I'm going to do it, and I will lead you there. In verse 4 to 5 of Deuteronomy 6, He says this, Israel, remember this, the Lord and the Lord alone is your God. So it's like he's narrowing their attention. He's focusing. It's like, you know, when you're standing behind a camera and you're zooming in to something, He's saying, listen, I need you just to remember. I need you to focus now. The Lord and the Lord alone is your God. There is no other God. You know, and some of us might have to deal with a few idols in our lives as we focus to receive what God has in store for us. Because we, you know, we've sort of zoomed out, and now there's a lot more that we're seeing at the moment, and it's becoming distractions in our lives to actually pursue that which God has for us. And He's saying, listen, I need you to zoom in. I need you to remember that the Lord and the Lord alone is your God. And then He says this, and love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. You know, there's only one problem with this scripture. One word that's the problem here for us as humans is the word all. Because we want, maybe 80%, Lord. You know, if you're generous, I'll give you 90%, Lord. But He's saying here, listen, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart. That zooming in to God is detail. It's so zoomed in that the only thing that we are focusing on is loving God, is the fact that He is the Lord my God, and that He makes things possible in this year to come. That I am focusing very attentively on Him. And He says this, He says, remember Israel, remember. I want you to remember that this is the promise of God, that I am your God. He is the Lord your God, no one else. So I want to say to you, remember who is your God. Remember who is the one that saved you. Who is the one that proclaimed over you. Remember His laws and His instructions that He's taught you, that He has instructed you, even to this day as you are sitting here. Remember that you cannot do this on your own, that you need to submit to Him and hear Him and understand His way. Remember there is but one God, and that God is your God. You must love God unreservedly and entirely. Our love for God cannot be divided by other things, cannot be distracted by other things. God is calling us to hone in our attention, our detail, our love, our passion to be towards Him. Remember, the God of the creation is your God. The one who made everything. The one who planned this, who put it together, who formed it with His words. He is your God. Man, if He formed it way back then, how much can He still do right now? He can speak and stuff happens in this world that we cannot fathom. When God starts moving, when His miracle working power starts moving in our generation now, we will see things shift like never before. But if we're going to be distracted by all sorts of other stuff, we're going to be in trouble. So he says, love the Lord. This is exclusivity of just loving him. I am choosing to love only God. To love him unconditionally with everything that is in me. Now, so many times when we feel that God has disappointed us, we draw away from him. We walk away. We're like, God, but you didn't do this, or you didn't answer that prayer. What's up with that, Lord? And then we start walking away. But you see, when we love him, when I give my life to him, I give my life to him 100%. It belongs to him. And the road he's taking me on, you see, I see now, he sees the journey. And sometimes he takes me through stuff to strengthen me, to build in resilience in me through trials and stuff that I go through. Sometimes, you know, we because of our dumb decisions, we bring our own trials on ourselves. And then he still says, I'll make those things work together for your good. Just trust me. So I don't know where your journey is this morning, but focus on God. So with all your heart means that seat of understanding, that you know, everything who you are, love him in that way. With your soul, the center of your will and your personality. You know, with everything that you are, with your might, everything, your abilities. Love God with everything that is in you. Let every action, every breath, every word bring glory to him as you pursue him. Do not walk away from him. And then in Matthew, Jesus kind of just, you know, I don't want to say upsets the apple cart, but it's like he expands this thing. And they ask him, they come to him and say, listen, what is the greatest law? Testing him. And Jesus answers, and he said to them, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment. So we need to do it. And then he continues in verse 39, and he says, and a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Referring to Leviticus. And he's saying, listen, in this love that we have for God, there needs to be a spilling over. There has to be a spilling over. Because God so loved us that he sent his son. There was a spilling over to us. The love he had for his son, he had this desire to see all the other sons and daughters just join him in heaven. And that love spilled over. And in the same way, as we love God with all our heart and our soul and our strength, that has to spill over to our neighbor, to those that God has placed around us. The people that are around you, where you stay and where you work and so on, please know it's not by accident. It's not random. God has chosen you specifically to love them, to let that love pour out, spill over, flow over to them. That is your responsibility, to love God in this passionate way and let it spill over to the souls that are next to you. Let it touch their lives. So it must touch other people. In 1 John 2, it's a bit different. Sort of the other side of the coin, if I may. 1 John 2, verse 15 to 17 says this, do not love the world. So now we're instructed to love God. Now we're being instructed in what not to love. And he says, do not love the world or the things of this world. Why? Because they bring distraction. Okay? If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Ooh, Quibus, that's a bit nasty, champ. You know, that's a bit rough. But we are in this world. But you cannot love this world. You see, we cannot play both sides of the coin. And this is a clear instruction. For all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh, the desires of the eyes, and the pride of life is not from the Father, but it is from the world. And the world is passing away along with its desires, but whoever does the will of God abides forever. So who will abide forever? those that do the will of God. You pursuing the promises and the word of God in every area of your life and loving Him in doing that and letting that love spill over to others as you pursue Him and trust Him with every decision, every left turn and right turn and whatever, you say, God, I'm just trusting you. And as you do that, He makes you prosper. He makes you abide forever. The secret to the success of your life is hidden in Him. Completely. Even in your pursuit of your the work that you're in, your maybe even to grow, you know, the prayer is, God, where do you want to use me the most? And you lead me there. But here we see a very strong caution about what we love, what we choose to love. And now that if we love the wrong stuff, that the love of the Father is not in us. That's a very, 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 very strong statement. So this morning I want to encourage you to love God with all your heart. Our love and devotion to God will always be derailed when we turn to the world. Our love and devotion to God will always be derailed when the things of the world become more important to us than Him. Our love and devotion will be derailed when we focus on the wrong place. If you feel that you're becoming cold, you know, maybe you're struggling in your relationship with God, maybe you're not hearing Him at the moment, I want to say maybe just check where your attention is. Where's your focus? Where's your love? Where's your time, your passion and everything going? And maybe that will be a clue of why you are sitting where you are sitting. And then rectify your love for God. Focus in on Him this morning. And you need to beware of three things according to the scripture. The desires of the flesh. That sense of desire or that which is the object of desire. That which pampers the appetites. That's what John Barnes says in his commentary. That which pampers the appetites. That's not pampers, but yeah. Those things that entices you, that makes it look nice. Beware of the desires of the flesh. Then the eyes. Beware of the desires of the eyes. The clothes, the jewels, the gorgeous furniture, the splendid places. You know, we just want to experience different things. Beware of those things that your eyes see, that you desire, that become more important than Him. But then the pride of life, the boasting, the arrogance of life. Be careful of those three things. And if you, again, if you feel cold or distant from God, just maybe go check, are you submitting to one of those? Have you become distracted? You see, we overcome this world by doing the will of God. We overcome the distractions and the thing of this world by focusing on God alone, by submitting to His way of doing and living, by living in the way that Romans 8 instructs us to, by walking in the Spirit and not walking in the flesh. So to close, saints, we need to enter and occupy that which God has promised. God has desires for us of places and stuff we need to walk into, but we cannot do it our way. We need to ask Him to part the Jordan and to take down the city and to lead us as we walk and step into the things that He has for us. The commandments and the instructions of the Lord paves the way to the promises of God. You know, sometimes we want the promises, but we don't want to follow the way that He wants to lead us in and obey even as He instructs us. But those commandments paves the way to step into those promises. Enter and occupy the promises of God that God has for you. Do not be afraid. Step in with boldness. Do not do it your own way. Do not even try. You will only fail. Fall more in love with God with all your heart, your soul, and your strength and your might. Let that love, there's a nice, spill over to those around us. Let the love of God spill over. Let the love of God spill over. There's so many people that are in desperate need of the love of God right now. And as we love Him, let it spill over. Let your cup run over with the presence of God. Let it just, you know, wherever you go, let be messy, man. I'm just seeing this picture of someone carrying this cup, and you know, it's like it has this fountain in, and it keeps pumping over, and everywhere you walk, it's you can follow the trail. May your life be like that, that wherever you walk, we can follow the trail of the love of God just being poured out, spilling over in people's lives. I want to close with a scripture. It says in Isaiah 30, verse 21, "And your ear shall hear a word behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. When you turn to the right and when you turn to the left." Our God is faithful. Our God is faithful to lead us into everything that He in store for us. As these parents pursue even discipling and raising and training these children, it's in their pursuit of God that they will be able to do it. Like, and stepping into the promises of God for their life, but also for the children's life. They will see God's goodness. And we need to be able to listen to this voice behind us that says, turn left, turn right. And have the humility to obey when God says, turn left and turn right. And not to go, but there's nothing left, Lord. I don't see anything left. And He says, but turn left. And then you turn left into nothing, but to see the beauty of what God can do in that space. Or maybe you look left and just there's just thorns and stuff. And you go, what's up with that? But God says, go. Just listen to my voice where I said turn left and turn right, and I'll lead you in this path. This morning I saw a clear vision as we prayed. And we know that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. But I clearly saw this path leading off in the distance, and the words of God saying, I am the way. I am the way, walk in it. And when we obey and when we submit to His way, we will reach the destination. We will get to the promises. We will inherit the land. We will see the beauty of God right now where we live. But we need to lay down our lives, our plans, our thoughts. We need to love the Lord our God with all our heart, our mind, and your strength. Amen.